Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight for a time of ministry in the Word of God and a Bible study. Hallelujah. God is amazing. He's good. He's awesome. We give Him all the glory and all the praise that He alone deserves. I trust God that you are doing well. You and your loved ones. This is such an amazing season. It's a glorious season, a season of incredible miracles, a season of great favors, supernatural shift, a season of divine help. Hallelujah. A season where there is a transfer of strength, a transfer of power, a transfer of grace. Glory to God. And I trust that you are enjoying this season of waiting on the Lord and inclining your ears and listening and being a part of the morning devotions and your own personal devotions, your time of study, your time of praying. Hallelujah. It's awesome. 2026 will be the best year that you have lived so far in the name of Jesus. The Lord will do amazing things in your life and in your family. He will visit with you. He will visit with all of us. He will help us know Him like we have never known Him before. Amen. Amen. He will help us walk with Him. He will help us. Oh, hallelujah. He will help us advance in destiny. Glory to God. His plans will be manifest in our lives. Every good plan that the Lord has designed concerning us will come into great manifestation, will come into fruition, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. Well, glory to God. I'm excited. Praise God for His word. Praise God for the presence of God. The Spirit of God is right here with us. And as we dive right into our Bible study tonight, I welcome you. It's not going to be long. The Lord's been stirring our hearts in a direction. It's very clear what the Lord's been saying to us in our Bible studies this Wednesday times of studying in the Word. And we're going to just press forward in that again tonight. So if you will bow your heads with me, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for preserving our lives, for keeping us to this moment. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. What a precious day. What a glorious day to be alive, to be here, to be called by you, to know you, to serve you, to walk with you. Father, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice, wherever they are, here in the United States or in other countries around the world. Some are joining us in real time on some of our different platforms. Some are going to listen in to this teaching later on. Father, there is no distance in the Spirit. There are no limits. And Lord, I trust you that the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that is right here with us tonight will be with every one of your beloved children. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Oh, God loves you. Beloved, God loves you. God loves you. You are, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. That means you are beloved by God. You didn't have to work to qualify to be accepted by God. Jesus paid the price to qualify you and to qualify me. God loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love. He said in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, he says, "For I have loved you with an everlasting love." That means nothing will ever change the love that God has for you. Nothing. No matter how far you go, no matter where, nothing will ever change the love that God has for you. You remember the father with the two sons that the Lord Jesus Christ talked to us about in Luke chapter 15? That's where we get the story of the prodigal son. Jesus never called him the prodigal son, but that's how it's described, right? That's the story. That's how it's described, what happened to that young man. But think about it. The father never put a tag on him. The father of those two sons loved both sons exactly the same. He loved the one that had always been at home, who never did anything wrong, who never went anywhere, never asked for his inheritance. He never just always did the right things. The father loved him. But the father also loved the one who left home, who took his inheritance and went away and went and spent his inheritance on foolish things. And the Lord didn't love the foolishness. God didn't love his foolish decisions, but God never stopped loving him. His father never stopped loving him. You remember when he came to his senses, the Bible says he came to his senses and he said to himself, oh my goodness, how many resources does my father have? Look at me here, right? He was right there in the pig pen, struggling with pigs, with animals for his daily sustenance. And then he came to his senses. He said, how many resources does my father have? Why am I here? Why am I here living like someone who does not have a father? And then he remembered, oh, I have a father. I'm going to go home to my father. Maybe my father won't receive me. Maybe he'll be too upset with me. I'll tell him, I'm sorry, father, for all the foolish mistakes I've made. He was rehearsing what he would say to his father. But the Bible tells us while he was far away, because every day his father was praying for him. As his father was praying for his brother, who never did anything wrong, who was a very good young man, which is good, did everything he was told, pleased his father, as awesome. His father loved him. But his father didn't love the one called the prodigal. He didn't love him any less. Every day he would pray for him. Every day he would rise up and stand on his veranda and look out there. Says, is this the day my son is coming home? His father didn't love him any less. My friends, I want you to know God loves you. Wherever you are in your life today, God loves you. His love for you is perfect. It's an everlasting love. It's a love that has no holes in it. It's a love that has no deficiencies. It's a love that has no limits. Your father loves you. Can you say with me? Say with me tonight. My father loves me. Say this. My father loves me. Now make it personal. Say, I'm loved by my father. Say it again. I'm loved by my father. Say it. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. Hallelujah. He chose us before we ever knew what we were doing. The Bible says from the foundations of the world. You remember? In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that. Well, okay. Let's get into some scriptures tonight. It's going to be a short service, a short teaching service. But again, I love that paragraph in our confession where it says, the spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life. Today, the plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling us this year, 2026. The Lord is calling us into a year and a season of supreme sacrifices. Sacrifices at a higher level than we have ever made in every area of our lives. Sacrifices that help us connect with the will of God for our lives in every area of our existence. Sacrifices, the spirit of sacrifice. Hallelujah. This is a year of supreme sacrifices, and the Lord is calling us to make sacrifices at levels we have never done in the past for the benefit of his kingdom and for the benefit of his people. The Lord is calling us, you and me, to make sacrifices at levels that we have never made in the past. Sacrifices that completely connect us to the will of God. Sacrifices that enable us to benefit the kingdom of God and the people of God. These sacrifices may be sacrifices of service, maybe sacrifices of loving, maybe sacrifices of finally saying yes to the Lord. Maybe in an area where we have just had a difficulty submitting in obedience to the will of God in the past, where we get up and say, Lord, I say yes. I say yes to your way and I say yes to your will in every area of my life. Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. If you want me to go there, I'll go there. If you want me to give this, I'll give it. Lord, if you want me to lay down this, I'll lay it down. Whatever, I want to do your will. Lord, I say yes to you. Sacrifices at a higher level. And those sacrifices done at a higher level and yet with joy, with great delight. That's why in that Psalm of David, we're going to read that Psalm of David in a minute. He said, God isn't really looking for sacrifices and burnt offering. See, because there is something higher than that. What he's looking for is a sacrifice, but it's higher than the ritualistic sacrifices and burnt offerings that men, humans, are often prone to want to give to the Lord. He's looking for living sacrifices, sacrifices that cost us some of the most valuable things, some of the most precious things in our lives. Not sacrifices that make us spooky. Like people look at us and we are weird to them. We're like, we've lost our minds. No, but sacrifices that help us connect to his will and that help us bring a benefit to his kingdom and to the people of his kingdom. Some of the people around us who may not even understand some of the sacrifices that the Lord calls us to make will eventually benefit from those sacrifices. Remember Noah's family, when the Lord told him to build that ark, right? In Genesis, he said, it's going to rain. Well, his family didn't understand that. They're supposed to go into this ark and stay there while it rains. They had never seen rain like that before and all of that. It seemed really strange to them. But they walked in obedience to what the Lord said to Noah. And when it was all said and done, they all came out of the ark and they all enjoyed the benefit of that sacrifice. And eventually when Noah offered sacrifices of burnt offerings to the Lord, those animals, different creatures, the Bible says God in heaven smelled a sweet aroma and he commanded a blessing upon Noah and the rest of the human race and put a rainbow in the sky as the evidence of his covenant with man. This is all began though with sacrifice, with a man who committed to doing the will of God. Noah committing to do the will of God got the job done. We said that about the Lord Jesus Christ last week. Now all these priests, high priests, offered sacrifice. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. Glory to God. Offered sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Every year. It's like fasting, right? People fast every year. You know, we have a Daniel fast. Glory to God. It's awesome. It's beautiful. But then the Lord started talking about the kind of fast that he's looking for. What he's looking for in that fast. that it's a time to make a life-changing commitment, to conform to his will, and to become a benefit to his kingdom and to his people. Look, let's start out here in Psalms 40. It's the Psalm of David. It's a popular Psalm of David. The 40th Psalm. Here, let me read you from verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, are your wonderful works which you have done. See, he called us. He loved us. He chose us. Long before we knew what we were doing, he chose us. Many, O Lord, are your wonderful works which you have done. Your thoughts, which are towards us, they cannot be counted. They cannot be numbered. The Amplified says, there are too many to be numbered. If I declare, if I was to declare and speak of them, there are more. There are too many that can be his thoughts towards us. Just like he said in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, my son, my daughter. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. His thoughts towards us. He chose us long before we knew what we were doing. He loved us with an everlasting love. Then he said in verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. No. Then I said, lo, I come. Listen now. I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. See, he's not looking for sacrifice. He's not looking for burnt offering at that level. He's looking for a life that is completely sold out to his will. It's a sacrifice, but it's a different level of sacrifice. It's a burnt offering, but it's a living sacrifice. It's not animals on the altar. It's me on the altar. The word sacrifice means a victim. To become a victim. Like Jesus. Jesus became God's victim on the earth. Like that scripture in the Old Testament calls some people prisoners of hope. Jesus became God's victim on the earth. The word sacrifice means victim, a victim. Jesus, by his own choice, became God's victim on the earth. What does that mean? Jesus committed himself to living a life that was completely pleasing to the Father. That is, Jesus said, my life is not my own. I choose to live my life for you. I am your victim. I am your sacrifice. And I am a victim by choice, and I'm a victim with joy. Hallelujah. You know, many times how people say, it's so hard to do the will of God. It's so hard because sometimes God will tell you to do things you don't want to do. God, you know, will make you go places you don't want to go. He make you talk to people you don't want to talk to. God will challenge you to do things, you know, he make you walk in love, like he loves you. He now tells you, you love too. You know, you love your fellow human beings. You love your family and you love people. Even people that have done you wrong, you love them. That's hard. People say it's hard to do the will of God. But not when you have committed yourself to be God's victim. A sacrifice is a victim. That is, the sacrifice is not the animal that is going on the altar. The sacrifice is me. I am God's victim. I'm the one going on the altar. And I'm the one saying to the Lord, Lord, do anything you want to do with my life. Whatever you want to do with my life. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my way, but your way be established. I'm your victim, Lord. Oh, I love it. A sacrifice at a higher level. A sacrifice where we say, Father, I choose you. I choose you. You are my priority. Not me. I am not my priority. My own desires are not my priority. My friends, this is one of the greatest ways. If you get a revelation of these things that the Lord is ministering to us in this part of the year, in this season of this new year, your life will never be the same again. There are a lot of prayers that we pray, oftentimes, all of us. God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do that. God, if you. And sometimes we even tie the things we will do to the things that God does. God, if you do this, if you do that. Because we live in a transactional world. For many people, Christianity itself is transactional. God, if you bless me with so and so, then I will do such and such for you. It's transactional. But when you become God's victim, you recognize God is calling you to commit your life to Him at the highest level possible and to do it unconditionally. Let me say it again. When you become God's victim, God's sacrifice, you realize that God is calling you to commit your life to Him at the highest level possible and to do it unconditionally. Not transactionally, but unconditionally. You take the if out. God, if you give me this. God, if you do that. God, if you help me do this. If you help me get this. If you help me move there. If you no. You take all the if out. Take all the ifs out. because now you are God's victim. That is, you recognize God wants to live His life through you. Remember that scripture in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave His life for me, so that I might live again. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm His victim. I recognize the sole purpose of my life is that God can get the glory through every area of my life. And the only way that can happen, like it happened for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way that can happen is that I become His sacrifice. I become His victim on the earth. So He lives His life through me. He walks through me. He talks through me. He loves through me. He blesses through me. He helps through me. He feeds the poor through me. He brings the sweet fragrance of heaven into the world through me. Through me. He doesn't ask for my permission. Because He recognizes I am His victim. I have given my all to Him. Like you remember in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was trying to minister His word to these people, right? In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, Simon had a frustrating night. He and his partners could not catch fish. Nothing was working for them. Nothing was going right. And yet, here came Jesus, He didn't ask him, can I please sit in your boat? No, Jesus just showed up and sat in his boat and then told him, please pull out. Jesus didn't say, how many fish have you caught today? How many, are you good? Are you, how much more time do you have? Like if I spend a few hours here on your boat, are you still okay? Do you have enough time to still be able to, you know, do what you need to do? No, Jesus did not even talk about any of that. Jesus said, let me just use your boat. Just sat down there, said, move out a little bit so I can. And then he started teaching the people. Now, you know that story in Luke chapter 5. If you don't know, you need to go read it. Because there was no conversation about what Peter was needing, what he lacked, what he wanted. But when Peter became a victim of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he allowed Jesus to use his boat, he voluntarily gave it. Because he could have said, no, get out of my boat. I am frustrated. I'm tired. Nothing has worked. I just want to go home to my family and I just want to go and have a good night's sleep. This is not the night. Jesus, you know, sometimes you call some people. You say, this is the Lord wants us to do this. And say, oh, pastor, this is not a good time. This is not a good time. I would do this. I would happily do this if this was a different day. But right now, this is not a good time. This is not a good. Peter didn't say that. Peter said, Lord, okay. You sit in my boat. What do you want? Said, okay. And when Jesus finished ministering to the crowd, Jesus said to him, hey Peter, cast your net, put your net on that side. Said, ah, Lord, we already did that. We did that. Nothing. We caught. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, I will do. And when he did, see, all the prayers that he had been praying, in a moment, he didn't pray. He didn't pray anything. He didn't pray. You will see, this commitment to the will of God, this commitment to live, and to commit to God's will at a higher level, it will unleash amazing blessings of God upon your life that you have never experienced before. Prayers you have not been sure, can I ask that? Is that not too big to ask? Things you have not even asked, you will be amazed how heaven will unleash upon you. Look at what that confession said. He said the story. He said, my father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. Is the key to the ultimate victory. Is the open door to the ultimate redemptive outpouring from heaven. This supreme sacrifice. This supreme sacrifice. Let's go back on that. Let's read on here. Glory to God. Look at my time here. David said, verse 6, Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Lo, I come. Look at that. Lo, I come in the volume of your book. He's talking about God's book. He's talking about what was written. You know, this is a Psalm of David, right? And these things that are written, if you go to another Psalm of David, Psalm 139, you know, every God planned our lives. He planned our lives not so that we'll be like zombies. No, but that we will conform to his will every day in every area of our lives throughout our existence. You know, in Psalm 139, David even said, every day of my life was written before I leave one of them. Right? Psalm 139 from verse 14. He said, if you read it from verse 13, he said, "For you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book, all my members, or all my days, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, wherein there was not even yet one of them." Let me read that to you from the Amplified so you can get a good sense of what that is saying. He said in verse 14, "I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery." Verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was not even one of them. How precious and how weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I awake, could I count the end? I will still be with you all the days." See exactly what he's saying in Psalm 40. "As it was written, I desire to conform to your will." Whatever was written concerning my life, I commit to finding it. I commit to walking according to it. And I commit to doing it with joy and delight. Whatever you have purposed, whatever you have planned, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. Hallelujah. Let's go back here to Psalm 40. "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of your book, it is written of me." We just read that in Psalm 139. "I delight," this is verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart." I delight to do your will. Yea, your law is within my heart. That is, he took God's law and God's will and embedded it within his heart. He is God's victim. And he said, "I will live by your prescription. I will live by your will. Whatever is pleasing to you, that's what I want to do. Whatever you need me to do, that's what I want to do. I make myself completely available to you. I make my life completely available to you. I lay down my life on the altar of sacrifice. I lay down my life on the altar of sacrifice. I give you my all. I give you my everything. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will go wherever you tell me to go. I will live however you tell me to live. I will be your victim. I will be your living sacrifice." Hallelujah. Now, you know, this scripture right here, Psalm 40, is prophetic. It's prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ. Although it was written by David, this is one of those psalms that David was actually writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that verse right there, Psalm 40 Psalm 40 verses 6 and 7, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened, Then said, "I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart." You find this exactly like this in Hebrews chapter 10. We started reading Hebrews chapter 10 last week. Let's go back there. That talked about the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Hallelujah. That talked about the ultimate price that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Look at that. Those two verses we read just now in Psalm 40, you see them right there in Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. Right? He said, therefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. I love that verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. I want to read that to you if I can find it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. I want to find it from the, I want to read it to you from the Living Bible version. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Let's see if I can find that. The Living Bible version. Listen to what it says. The Living Bible version says, it says, then I said, see, he's talking to the Lord now. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the Father. See, I have come to do your will, to lay down my life, just as the scriptures said that I would. Look at that. I've come to do your will. I've come to lay down my life. I've come to do everything that is written of me. I've come to live that higher level of a life that glorifies you, that pleases you. I've come to be your victim. I've come to live a life of supreme sacrifices in 2026. My brothers and sisters, this is not just for 3 weeks of fasting. 21 days of Daniel fast. Praise God. This is when we lay the foundation. Foundations are very important, as you and I know. Right? Everything God does begins with foundation. He laid the foundation of the earth in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. Hallelujah. Everything God does begins with foundation. Right? The foundation of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything begins with foundation. And when God builds, he starts with foundation. And then he starts building the house. You and I know we can't build a house without a strong foundation. Well, this time of the Daniel fast is powerful because this is when we lay the foundation for 2026. The integrity of the house we build, the quality of the glory of God we are able to experience in 2026 will be determined by the foundation that we lay during these 3 weeks. Yeah? Foundation is being laid right now. See, while the opportunity exists for all of us to lay this foundation, there are a lot of people who don't know that. There are a lot of people who are living anyhow, doing their thing. You know, this is, God is calling us to live and make sacrifices to him at a higher level, to choose him as our priority. There are many people who don't, they don't care about that. God loves them. But they can't enjoy the full benefit and the full blessings that he has made arrangement for them for. The good plan that God has for their lives, they can't enter into because they are missing out on the opportunity to lay a good foundation. But glory to God, you and I are so blessed. My brother and my sister, we're so blessed. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to, we delight to do his will, to lay down our lives as it is written concerning us. Remember, there were sacrifices made before the Lord Jesus Christ came. Every year, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. If you read from verse 1, we did this last week. Let's just do it real quick. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the commas thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, Jesus, he said, no, you did not desire those sacrifices. You know why the sacrifices that were made by the priests? Let me read this to you directly from my notes. I've got to try to wrap this up. But there's been this song in my spirit all day. Lord, I'm available to you. And I'm going to read some of the words. Well, if you're an old timer from way back then, Reverend Milton Bronson in Chicago and the Thompson Community Choir. This is one of the very popular songs of the 80s. A song of surrender, a song of yieldedness and sacrifice to the Lord. What a beautiful song. And I like a lot of the lyrics. I'll see if I can play just a little bit of it for you tonight before I close out. Hopefully we don't get in trouble with YouTube and Facebook. Hopefully they don't take us off because we play that song on air. But I'm going to do it anyway at the end. And if they cut us off, you know we're back here next week. So glory to God. But Lord, I'm available to you. I'm available to you. It's not the priest sacrifice every year, but it cost them little to nothing. What did they sacrifice? They sacrificed bulls and goats and lambs, and it wasn't their blood. It wasn't them. No, it was animals. That's my alarm going off. So I've got to wrap this up. Glory to God. I'm really getting into the sweet spot now, really beginning to enjoy it. And lo and behold, we have to wrap this up. Praise God. Thank God we have another opportunity next week. Let's do this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, the sacrifices they offered, the priests offered every year, were not sacrifices. It wasn't their blood, right? Cost them little to nothing. But Jesus, this is one of the most important, most powerful reasons why Jesus became the payment. The Bible calls him the propitiation. That is the atonement, the eternal atonement. He was the required payment for the redemption of man. Why? He became the victim. He was both the victim and the high priest. See, this was the difference between the sacrifices that were made before the Lord Jesus Christ came and his own sacrifice. The high priest bought animals, which cost them little to nothing. And some of those animals were not even theirs. But people brought them and they offered them, right? And yeah, they had to find spotless animals and things like that. Yeah. But every year they had to repeat the same thing. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was both the victim and the high priest. So that means it was like the high priest sacrificing their own lives. Now, even if they did, it would not have been sufficient, right? Because the atonement required spotless animals. It required blood that he had. It required guiltless lambs. That's why John the Baptist called Jesus. He looked at him in John chapter 1. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's a spotless lamb. The one who lived a perfect life. Never did wrong. Never did any wrong. And yet took the punishment of all of humanity. All of humanity upon himself. He gave God the best and the highest that any human could have. Glory to God. Well, maybe when we come back next week, I have about seven things that makes the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made superior. But I've told you one of the most important ones tonight. Right? It cost him everything. The high priest just bought animals, or animals people brought them and they laid it. It didn't cost them little to nothing. The sacrifice God is calling you and I to make at a higher level, at that supreme level. It's not calling us to, we're not going to die for humanity. Even if you try to do it, you don't qualify. I don't qualify because we're not guiltless like Jesus was. So he's not calling us to do that. But he's calling us to lay down our lives for him, to be his victim, to be sacrificed, to be the temple through which he can express himself to the world. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So everywhere we go, we become his hands, we become his feet, we become his eyes, we become his ears, we become his instruments, we become his vessels, that emanate his will, emanate his goodness on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Supreme sacrifice, fully conformed to the will of God. I like that song. We'll come back next week by God's grace. I'm gonna list some of this very important, powerful reasons why the sacrifice Jesus made was far superior to that of the priests. Far, 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 far superior. It got the job done. Like Noah's sacrifice, he got the job done. And because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, eternal redemption. You see them in that Hebrews 10, in what verse is this? He said in verse 11, he says, "And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." That's why, as the church of Christ, as the body of Christ, victory is guaranteed. Jesus is already seated on the right hand of God, and every enemy, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will either do it voluntarily and willingly, or they will do it by force. They will either do it by their free will, or they will do it by force. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because he paid the ultimate price. He paid the ultimate price. He said there in verse 14, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Oh, I love that song. Let's see if I can find it. Like I said, Thompson Community Choir in Chicago, Reverend Milton Bronson, in the 80s. And if you're an oldie, if you're an old timer, you probably know this song or you've heard it. And if you are new, praise God. You may have heard some of it too. Or this may be entirely new, but listen to this. "You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but I cannot wipe away their tears. You gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who never heard. But with my eyes, I can see a need for more availability. I've seen the hearts that have been broken, so many people to be set free. Lord," this is the chorus, "Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. I'll do anything you tell me to. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am available to you." Look at another verse. "Now I'm giving back to you all the tools you gave to me, my hands, my ears, my voice, my eyes, so you can use them as you please. I've emptied out my cup so that you can fill me up. Now I'm free. I just want to be more available to you. Lord, I'm available to you." Can you say that with me tonight? Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm available to you. Let's see if we can make this a little louder and richer. I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and then enable me to say my storage is empty. Storage is empty. And Lord, I am available to you. I'm available to you. Hallelujah. I'm available to you. My storage is empty. Lord, I'm available to you. My storage is empty. You want to tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. I'll do anything you tell me to do. I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll be your feet on this earth. I'll be your hands. I'll be your voice. I'll be your eyes. I'll be your ears. I'll be the one through whom you can express your life and your glory. I'll be your victim. I'll be your sacrifice. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We thank you tonight. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for opening our eyes and for speaking your word to us. We receive. We receive and we yield to you. And we commit our lives to you. And then God, we commit ourselves, our lives as a living sacrifice at a higher level. At a higher level. Supreme sacrifices. Supreme sacrifices. We thank you, Father. We thank you. God, we pray that this sacrifice may be acceptable to you. Give you all the glory and all the praise. Bless all of my brothers and all of my sisters tonight. Them and their families. Bless them and their loved ones. All through the rest of this week. The rest of our fasting period. The rest of this month. And all that we do. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us again tonight. What a blessing. This has been a glorious, glorious service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that the Spirit of God will be ministering to you right through tonight, right through into tomorrow morning as we do our devotion again. Glory to God. The rest of this week, the rest of this fasting season. And our lives will never be the same again. Amen. God bless you and good night.